Oh boy, you brought the big load. Sorry to make you struggle so much. I don't know, maybe right here. How'd you know it's right? Oh, because it says Expo on the bottom. I don't know if I even have a use for it, but it makes a nice prop. So with the month of February starting, the speakers, which will be Brian, Rick, and I, will have messages about love, which I already mentioned. The series title is What the Bible Says About Loving Your, and then one would be God, one would be neighbor, which would be Rick's, and one week is going to be about spouse, and then parents and children. So this month is divided into different messages about love, since it's February. Valentine's Day is right in the middle of it, so it's kind of a nice way to theme it. Each week, one of us will be taking those topics, mine being the first, What the Bible Says About Loving Your God. I want to preface by saying that love is a very complicated concept with many types of love, or at least I think it is. In my Oxford Dictionary and Thesaurus, it takes up one whole column. This is my actual Oxford Dictionary and Thesaurus that I use, and I marked the page, and I marked it with a joke. You want to hear the joke? It's from a calendar of jokes. So, why are ghosts not allowed into comedy clubs? Anybody? They always boo the comedians. I think she had it. She was right on the track. They always boo the comedians. Anyway, so in my dictionary, love covers a whole column. It goes all the way from there down to there, and that's fine print. So there's a lot of different information about it. So it's not necessarily a very simple thing to explain or understand the details about love. So I guess for surfing the web, looking for love, no wait, not looking for love, that's not what I mean. It's not that, it's something else. What I mean is surfing the web, looking for the types of love. The other one is a very big industry, surfing the web looking for love. But I was looking for different types of love, and I found all different kinds of things. And trying to find out what does love really mean, there's a lot of stuff on the web. While I was surfing the web, this is what I found. Different topics, different headings about different people's ideas and different teachings about love. The four types of love, I found that as a heading. What are the 12 types of love? That's a different one. What are the 7 types of love? That's a different one. The 3 main types of love? That was a different one. And then I saw another one that said the 8 different types of love. So I'm looking around and looking at the internet really cleared it up for me. So now I know all of those things are true, since there are so many different variations and ways to look at love. Sometimes the internet isn't the best place to go for your information, I think, because there's a lot of variation just in that. I guess it's something that could have plenty of misinforming with all those different variations, because I'm sure that the 3 and the 12 have a lot of different variation in them. So I think it's a good idea to consider the teacher of what you're going to learn about love or how you're going to be taught. Remember that the title of this series is What Does the Bible Say About? So the Bible will be our teacher today. We're just going to use the Bible to learn what love is, what we can find out about it in the Bible. So today's first slide, it's the right one. It's a pretty simple verse, I'm pretty sure. It's 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So we're talking about teaching, we're talking about learning, we're using the Bible as a learning tool. So any verse that we read in the Bible should be good for us to use as a teaching tool. So it's good for teaching. The scripture is good for teaching. For correction, that's something that people sometimes forget about, that correction is something that we need, and the Bible is good for that too. We don't have to blame what we're saying to somebody that's negative. It could be that you're saying, here's this verse. What do you think it means? But for these different verses are for teaching, correction, and for training. So that's one that we should memorize. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. So now we can use the chalkboard. So, you kids, first. I don't want you to see my notes. If I do that, you'll see my notes. This is supposed to be a heart. Did I do good? It's a purple heart. That's like an award you can get if you're in the service. Olivia, can you name something that you really like? One of your favorite things? Your friends? Did I spell it right? Emma, can you name something?
Grapes.
This is even grape colored. Elijah, can you name one of your favorite things? No? Your mom? You know, upside down, that's wow. Natalie, can you name something? Any other kids can name anything? Malachi?
My lifetime.
Your lifetime? That's a really difficult one, but I asked Malachi. Elliot, is there something that you really like?
Apples.
That you love them? Apples? You love apples? Anybody else? Huh? Oh, Alex?
My dad.
I was going to write parents, but that's not what you said. How about Ben? Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't he? Burgers. Oh, we forgot our next slide. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. This is called the Shema, if you didn't remember, or the Shema, or however you want to pronounce it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. That's verse 5. Anybody want to add anything to this list? So our heart is so full, there's not even any space for God. Oh, wait, there's room for him. But if you look at this, it just blends in with all the other stuff, right? God's nothing special. But if we're supposed to love our Lord, our God, with all our heart, then he needs to take up more space. These things are all taking up the space that we don't have enough space for God in there. So let's do it differently. Man, this purple is hard to erase. So we're going to put God in our hearts big, because that should be the biggest thing in our heart, right? Even though God is big in our heart, we still have room for sports. And for, what was that, lifetime?
Lifetime.
We have room for a lifetime, but grapes. Did you notice I'm not writing them as big? Grapes. Just a few grapes, not your whole heart full. I don't remember the rest of them. Mom. Dad. Burgers. We can fit a lot of stuff in here. Let's put apples over here. It's supposed to be good for the wall of your heart. What is it? Peppers? It wasn't in the first one, but it can go in this one. But you get what I'm doing here. I'm putting smaller amounts in there, but we can look at that. There's one thing that this verse doesn't say is that you can't love other things. It just says that you have to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. It needs to be the main thing in your heart. If you look at that heart, it's pretty obvious that God is the main part of what's in that heart, even though those other things are in there. So it should be that people can look at us and know that God is the biggest part of our life, or has the most in our hearts, more than any other item. So anyway, this is an object lesson. In case you don't know what an object lesson is. I had to erase it because there's another thing I need to put on here. So when I looked at Deuteronomy 6:5, I looked it up in the concordance to find out what the word for love was. Love the Lord your God. This is the third word. You shall love the Lord your God. And I found out this is what it is. It's number 157 in the Hebrew. That's the number given to it. So you can look in the back of your concordance and find out what the number is. The word is, don't you like it when I do those kind of A's? And it has an apostrophe in one of these things over the A in Hebrew. And you pronounce it like this. Ahab. That's what it said in the, there's a pronunciation guide in there. So that's Hebrew. And that's what the word is that's translated love in this verse. It's a verb. It's known as a verb. You know what a verb is? It's an action. Okay, so we know that. So that's what's translated for the word love. That's what's translated. The guys that are reading the manuscripts come across that and they look at that and they go, Ahab, let's write love. So they write down love. So that's how they do that. So it's used 208 times in the manuscripts of the Hebrew, all the way to Malachi, the end of Malachi. From Genesis to Malachi, it's used, that word is used 208 times in the manuscripts. 170 of those times, or 161 of those times, it's translated either love, loveth, or loved. 161, whoops, from 180, 208. And there are like 10 other words that are used, that other 10 different words that are used that are to deal with love, but they're not like just the plain love. So I looked up in the Hebrew dictionary that's in the concordance, and this is the definition of that word. It is to love or to like. It took me a while to figure out the like one, you know, like the girls in junior high, oh, I like Bobby. Or the boys in junior high say, oh, I like Susie. I think that's what it's referring to. To love or to like or to be a friend. In the NASB lexicon from BibleHub.com, it has those same things in there, but it adds to it to have affection for, along with these other things, to like, to love, or to be a friend. To be a friend was in all of them, and I think that's a pretty good definition. Some of the Oxford definitions, the one out of that blue one, it's bigger. It's got a lot more definition than the Hebrew had. Some of them are, and they're all listed as verbs because sometimes love can be a noun. And as you listen to these definitions, try to see if it's something that you can, in your mind, relate to loving God, because the topic for today is what the Bible says about loving your God. Are these things, as I describe them, things that we can use to describe our loving God? So keep that in mind. Do these things define these definitions? Do they fit the task? Something that we should be asking ourselves. In Oxford, it says, to have a deep fondness for. That's one of the definitions. To delight in, to admire, to greatly cherish. And these are all from Oxford, in the English translation there. They're all definitions of love. Are they appropriate descriptions of how we should love God? To delight in, to have a deep fondness for, to admire, to greatly cherish, to greatly enjoy, to find pleasure in? I think they are. In fact, many of those terms that are used remind me of particular verses that you hear in the Bible. You know, some words stand out, especially in King James. You remember a word because it's like a word that you don't always use in everyday English, so it's something that you remember, and it reminds you of a particular verse, a different word. I think all of these definitions describe how we should feel toward God, the ones that I read from Oxford. But I want to use Scripture to notice how different people in the Bible showed their love to God. I wrote it that way because it's a verb. Love is a verb. This is how the people showed their love for God. In the Strong's definition, it says, to be a friend of. One definition of love. I hope I'm not clicking these with my finger. I hit the pointer button. There's three buttons on here that are really close together. So James 2:23... That's not the one. James 2:23. I must have clicked the button while I was carrying it. So James 2:23 is written in my notes. And here's what it says. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. This is a very popular verse in our church and in our what you would call denomination, just because Abrahamic faith is in a lot of the names of the different churches. But did you know that Abraham is also called the friend of God in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, and in Isaiah 41, verse 8? I didn't remember that. That's kind of why we study and keep studying, because we forget a lot of things. So with this verse, listen closely to what I'm going to say, because it's kind of a thick sentence or several sentences. I believe that being a friend in this verse, that Abraham was called a friend of God, that being a friend is related to Abraham's believing God. That verse also says that Abraham believed God, but being a friend is in a different part of the verse there. But I think they're related, that being a friend is related to Abraham's believing God. And I believe that the believing God part is about believing God would resurrect Isaac if he were to be killed during the Abraham and Isaac sacrifice story. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? And he was supposed to kill him, and then God stopped him before it happened. And Abraham believed that if he did actually kill him, that God would resurrect him, because the promises that God gave to Abraham were through Isaac, and Abraham knew that. So he believed that Isaac would be resurrected if he were to kill him in his sacrifice. So you could say to love God is to believe him and believe you will be resurrected, if needed, when Jesus returns. I put if needed in case he comes back before we die. He may. But if we do die before he comes back, he'll resurrect us. We need to believe that. That's one way that we can love God, is to believe what God says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Believing us makes a friend of God, or makes us friends with God, which is kind of a big statement, isn't it, to be called a friend with God? I think it is. Us loving God, believing like Abraham. Another part of Abraham's story is his obedience. One was that he believed God. One is that he obeyed. I'm certain it factors into their friendship, the fact that Abraham was very obedient. Even when he was asked to do something that we would call a terrible task, like sacrificing Isaac, to sacrifice your only child or any child, how hard would that be? But Abraham believed him, and he did. He went ahead and went through the motions and would have followed through were he not stopped. But God stopped him because he knew that Abraham was faithful and obeyed. It was one of his tests. John 14:21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," "is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." The footnote in my Bible says about this verse, "The Christian faith works through love, and the measure of one's love is the extent to which one keeps Christ's commandments," which include God's commandments. So, us keeping the commandments of God is how we love him. So I use this verse to show that we need to obey. Obedience is a big part of what it means for us to love God. Obedience is a big part of it. So we can add being obedient or following God's wishes to us loving God. The Psalms have been a big part of our reading if you have been doing the reading. Oh, it's over here. I don't know if you have this paper printed off. If you don't, you should, or one like it. It's reading through the Bible in a year. It keeps us up every day, supposed to be every day. You can see mine's not all the way current. This is January. I know we're into February a little bit, and I only have a couple chapters read in there, but I have to catch up. But it's something that we all ought to do. It keeps us alive in the Word and the Word alive in us. Some of the love definitions that we read or had from the different, from the concordance and from Oxford, remind me of some of the Psalms terminology. Psalm 37, that's not the right one. Did I have it wrong or? Oh, sorry. Psalm 37. It's got a couple of verses in there. I need to read it out of here because it was a lot to write, but I did mark it, so it's easy to find. Psalm 37, 3 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday." So that's Psalms 37, 3 through 6. And that was for February 7th if you're doing this chart. It's for a couple days from now. So you got that one in already. You can cross it off. So to me, this verse or these verses are a recipe on how to love God. It involves trust. It involves all the things in there of how you consider or how you look at God. that you're looking at God in, from your whole heart. This was written by David, I'm pretty sure, yeah. This one was written by David. And did you know that he was a songwriter? And that the book of Psalms, was a hymn book for the Jewish people throughout all these years? They used them for songs. And David wrote a lot of them, but there are many other authors as well. And what it's telling us to do is to trust in the Lord and do good. Those are all actions. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. It's not something that we just sit down and is entitled to us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. So when I read or listen to the Psalms, it feels like the writers are pouring out their hearts. Again, I mentioned that it's not just David that writes in the Psalms, but they're pouring out their hearts and exposing their strength and their vulnerabilities. You can see some passages, they're very confident, and other passages, they're like, don't know what to do. They're asking God for help and asking for protection. It's like it's as honest and basic as it can get. I think that's how we are supposed to communicate with God, too, and I think that's what these Psalms are. They're communications with God, but we can pattern our own communications with God like that, being honest and the very people that we are. That's how we should approach God, like a child that would lean on a parent for comfort or for strength. When we love God, we will do that with him. This one should be Proverbs 18:10. It is. And it says, pretty simple one, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. This time it's Solomon's advice. He wrote Proverbs. Solomon is showing us how to love God. This verse seems dynamic to me. I had to look up what dynamic meant before I would use it as a word, and I think it's appropriate. This is telling a very big story in a very small verse. It also seems to be, in the writing of Proverbs 18, it seems to be an island in a dangerous sea. If you read the verses around it, it's all about what not to be. And this verse is like right in the middle there, and it tells us where we can go and who our refuge is. It's the strong tower where we would, what we call, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I paraphrased it, and I want to read that to you now. The name of the Lord is a strong tower to those that love him. Oh, Natalie found out about paraphrasing in class the other day. She said, oh, you mean that's when you say something that it's not saying? You're not reading the words when I was reading in class. Yeah, that's what that means. It's a paraphrase. The name of the Lord is a strong tower to those that love him. You would run to him as you would a friend's house. God offers strength and safety to those that love him. That's how I would paraphrase that verse. To those who don't love him, he offers trouble and destruction. So it's kind of important to love God. What does the Bible say about how we love our God? In the rest of Proverbs 18, except for two or three more verses that are positive like this one, are all about those people that aren't seeking after or aren't loving God, and it's not a pretty picture. That's why I thought that verse is an island in a troubled sea. These verses that we talk about are some of what the Bible says about loving God. I think obedience leads to friendship. We talked about obedience and friendship. I think one comes before the other. Abraham obeyed and then became God's friend. I think the more we have, the stronger, the more obedience that we have, the stronger that our trust to God is, that will give us that closer friendship relationship, being friends with God. A friend is someone that you go to for support, help, and to verbalize your gratitude and appreciation for what you have. That's what you do with friends. You tell them the things that you like, and you tell them the things that you need help with. Seasoned with prayer, I can't think of a better relationship to have with God than being friends. So let's close with this verse. Psalm 31, 23 and 24. It's got a pink background. My notes are pink too. They match. It says, "Oh, love the Lord, all you godly, all you his godly ones." It's talking about us that love the Lord. "Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves in faithful and faithfully recompenses the proud doer." There's some more action. "The proud doer the Lord loves. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who hope in the Lord." That's Psalm 31, 23 and 24. Let's close with song number 31, "To God Be the Glory."